throughout the history of the existence of man, the adversary has always dealt the same way as he's dealing with you and with me. Satan deals with our feelings and our emotions. See, Satan has no authority over me. I'm a Christian. Those of you who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, he has no authority. He can't come in and just do anything to you that he wants to do. Well, he can't even control your feelings unless we let him. Now, I jokingly have said, I realized the longer I've been in the ministry, it's not really a joke, that pastors or preachers or chaplains, any of us, we do not have a right for feelings. We cannot let our feelings get involved with God's Word. I cannot become so emotional. A few weeks back, I became extremely emotional here. Do you know what really sets me off with emotion? Children. Of how I witness so often that children are being mistreated. I have that on my mind so much. Well, it can only be there because God's placed it there. And with my background, I've seen too much hurt of children. So I do get emotional. Yeah, if something happens to you adults, I'm not very emotional. But when it comes to a child, your child, I want to be there. You better tell me what's going on, or I will preach your sermon. Because God pays attention to the heart of the innocent. Have you thought of yourself as being innocent at your age? Maybe it just drives you nuts looking back at your past, doesn't it? And yet, we seem to enjoy reliving the pain of the past because we keep bringing it back up to ourselves. And we keep saying, well, you know, I didn't feel so bad because of what I did then. All right, you're feeling bad. Does that change anything you did then? Does it change your present and does it change your future? When your feelings are locked in and your trust in God's Word is pushed out. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God debunking Satan's feeling tools. Well, you know, I just don't feel right about doing this. Then don't do it. Well, that's too simple. It is, isn't it? So like saying that if I say yes to Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of my life, I'm heaven bound. Why, it's too simple. It wasn't simple for him. It wasn't simple for his father. It wasn't simple when all the heavenly hosts watched. Wasn't anything simple about it. But you and I have been allowed to be in the generation of the grace of Almighty God. We got to be born after the birth of our Messiah, after the birth of Jesus, the period of time of his church, full of grace, full of mercy, full of love. So what is going to slow that down? My feelings? Well, I just don't feel like doing it. You let your kids get by with that? Well, I don't feel like fixing you anything to eat. Not only that, if you don't start cleaning up, I'll break your plate. Oh, preacher, that's harsh. Not nearly as harsh if I'd take your bedroom door off the hinges, put it in the basement until you act with respect. That's really harsh, preacher. Yeah, but I don't feel like it is. Because I love. I care. Because that world out there does not care about your children. That world out there does not care about you. So Satan uses the feeling tools to pull you down. Now, listen to me as I share this with you. You get the feeling of inferiority. Well, I'm inferior to everybody. Really? I would not tell God that if I were you. He said that he saw you and was there as you were being molded together in your mother's womb. That does not sound to me like you're inferior to anyone. God's paying attention to your life. Now, Ephesians 2, 5, verses 5 and 6, but just before that, in verse 4, Paul is saying this, God, great mercy and great love for you. Now, let me start verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you realize all of that present tense? Do you realize you can count it as you're already there, Christian? So you're going to have a feeling of being inferior to someone else? Well, God didn't call me to sing, but He didn't call me to sing either, and I have proof. But God called you to do something, and it's that something you need to pay attention to. It's not your feeling of, well, you know, I'm just not as smart as that next guy. Actually, I've never heard any of this congregation say they weren't as smart as the next guy. You see, human intellect is nothing without godly wisdom. What good is it going to do you to be so smart and have no wisdom? God says, okay, I want you to know you're not inferior because I've already raised you up. I'm already there. My body is just keeping the me from being there right now because I still have a job to do for God. And I don't have time for the foolishness in between. I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to play this or to play that. It's a real world out here, and so many people are hurting, and so many people are dying and going to hell because the Christians refused to act different. I am different. I've been told I'm different ever since I can remember. Well, I was told I was weird and odd. That's different. The next feeling I want you to look at is the feeling of insecurity. Now see, God just said you have no reason to feel inferior. Now, that feeling of insecurity, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. What if the stock market crashes? What if my 401k? What if my $5 I got left in the checking account disappears because they're going to charge me a fee because I only have $5? That's a feeling of insecurity. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I got news for you. Neither do the multi-wealthy. But I can tell you this. I know the one that'll feed you. I know the one that'll never leave you. I know the one that has said you're secure. So if I'm secure, why do I feel inferior? And why do I worry about tomorrow? I haven't made it through today yet. I haven't even made it through this sermon yet. And God looks at us, listen to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. So to covet. Don't say, well, if I had what he has, if I had what she has, if I look like that, if I had that voice, if I had this, or if I had that. That's covetousness. Actually, that's sin. I don't want what you have. I haven't figured out what I got yet. And God said, I'm going to bless you more and more and more. Now, there's not an individual in here that cannot look at what God's done in your life and count the many blessings. Name them one by one. And it may surprise you what the Lord has done. Watch it, Brother Randy, I'll start singing. Think of it. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Well, it's not shining anymore. Well, shine it up. Don't get so ornery and feel so insecure that you really think your great mind is going to give you security throughout this world. 2008 stock market crash, 401ks down the drain, half the worth of America was gone. I tried to find out where it went. I said, where did the money go? And the answer still baffles me. Well, it really wasn't there to begin with. It was all on paper. Was it green paper? No, it really wasn't cash. It just disappeared. Okay? I'm thinking of the rapture. I'm going to be gone one day, and I do not need to feel insecure with it. I've been eating pretty good. And from the looks of you all, you've been eating good yourself. Some of you eating better than others. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, Jesus said, important, right? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? My savings account's out of this world. My retirement is out of this world. Nobody gonna mess with it. That's one bank nobody's gonna rob. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. I read the book. So therefore, my security is solid. Do you really think that you can protect yourself 24/7? No. You got to sleep. I serve a Savior that doesn't sleep. I serve a Savior that watches after me continually. And he says, Larry, go to sleep. I'll take guard duty on you. Man, can I sleep? Because I know that I'm secure. So the feelings have to be pushed out. The feelings have got to be moved around. I don't have time for feelings because I'm dealing with reality and I'm dealing with a promise. I'm dealing with God's word. Therefore, the feeling of insecurity is a lie from Satan. Just like the feeling of inferiority is a lie from Satan. And then we go to the feeling of inadequacy. I'm just inadequate. Oh, would we please get over ourselves? I'm just so inadequate. Why? Because you choose to be? Because you enjoy walling around in the feelings of Satan's trickery? What does the Lord say? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can I feel inadequate? I can look at my enemy and I can say, listen to me, enemy. You keep messing with me, I'm going to tell God on you. And when I tell God on you, you in big trouble. You talk about a prayer that God hears and answers directly. You tell God on people that's hurting children. I do. And then I ask God to give me the grace and mercy to where I won't hurt those who hurt the children. Why? Preacher, you're not supposed to be angry. Yes, I am. I'm supposed to be angry, but sin not. I read the book. Am I not to be angry at the things God is angry at? Are you not to be angry at the things God is angry at? So therefore, how can I feel inadequate when I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I will not sit down. I will not lay down on the job. I will stand and I will walk until I can no longer walk. And I guarantee you, God will be there. If he wants me up, get out of my way. Because I'm getting up. See, that's what God tells us. You're listening to the feelings of your life. You're allowing your emotions. Jesus wept. I weep. Oh, you men, you Marines are sure not supposed to weep. I cried all the time. You get scared enough, you'll cry. Fancy crying again? No, I'm washing my eyes out. You know, I'm never counting myself as even close to being the man who Jesus is. And Jesus wept. Are you greater than he? I hear people telling all the time, now you don't need to cry about this. You don't. Shut up and let them cry. Some things you need to cry about. I look at this world and what's going on. I just need to sit down and cry. But then I run out of tears. Do you ever do that? Do you ever cry to the point that there was no tears left? All you could do was lay there and jerk, bounce on the ground in prayer because every muscle of your body was so tense that you felt that bad in your failures. You didn't know what to do. Ever been there? It's a horrible ditch to be in. But listen to me. When you're there and you say there's no more chance. Your pastor felt that hand under me. And I heard the stern voice, folks. And I have to laugh to this day. Because it was the voice that I read in the book. The voice of God when he came up behind Joshua. Joshua's on his face praying. Because the Lord says, there's sin in the camp, there's sin in the camp. So Joshua, what's he doing? Well, God wants me to pray, so I'm praying. Jesus comes up behind him and he said, hey, Joshua, shut up. You've prayed long enough. Get up. You know where the problem is. Now you get up and you take care of it. That's what I felt. Larry, would you quit whining, you sissy Marine? Get up and get about my business. Did you really think you could handle it yourself? You Marines aren't very bright. Well, I appreciate Jesus debunking Satan's feeling too of you can't do it. And here's the big one. It's the last one. It's the big one for us. The feeling of guilt. Oh, man, Satan can bring that one on, can't he? I feel guilty eating mashed potatoes. Why? I'm so fat. You love mashed potatoes? Yes. I feel guilty in eating them. Do you ever try not eating in so many? No. I want to eat it. So I want you to feel guilty about that. So what happens? I've had to deal with young girls, anorexic, because they knew that people just didn't like the weight that they were carrying. Would you get over that garbage? You are who you are. You are beautiful in the hands of Almighty God. Get over it. I eat all mashed taters I want. I promised myself that in the jungle of Vietnam. Lord, give me anything but spam. What a blessing. Listen to it. Romans 8, 1 and 2. You had to have been there, folks. Had to have been there. Ain't that right, Brother Norman? There is therefore now... Why? We're in that generation. Grace, mercy, ultimate love. Holy Spirit will indwell us, not come upon us and leave us. He will indwell us and live within us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. Does it mean you don't sin? It means you know where your heavenly home is. I walk according to Jesus' promise. You're already here, Larry. Gosh, I like it. But according to the Spirit, according to the Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Spirit of God, His Word also says, without the Spirit, the body is dead already. Without the Spirit, you're already dead. I have the Spirit. You have the Spirit as a Christian. Woo! What a Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation can be brought against me in the presence of God. God, Jesus knows my name. He knows my name. I love that, don't you? Larry, you have been such a mess throughout your whole life. You've messed up here, you've messed... It's in the Lord saying it. It's Larry saying it to Larry. And one day, Brother Randy, I'm going to stand face to face with my Savior. I can't bring any of that garbage up, because all He will say is, what sin are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? What a blessing. Jesus knows my name, but He refuses to look at my sin. I'd say we got it pretty good, wouldn't you all? Frankly, it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the blessings and the joy of our salvation. A salvation that You've given us as a gift. Oh, Father, for Your great gifts of life, we praise Your name. For such love, we can never say enough. Such mercy, such hope, only You can bring us. We ask now, Father, that You direct each of us in our service to You. In Jesus' name, amen.